Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the I Want More Action podcast. Please go check us out at www.iwantmoreaction.com. And you can find us on Spotify by typing in I Want More Action as well. What's today's movie, Frank?
Well, today, Chris, we are doing Tenet. And Tenet is a movie about it armed with only one word, Tenet, and fighting for the survival of the entire world. A protagonist journeys through a twilight world of international espionage on a mission that will unfold in something beyond real time.
And his name is Protagonist, too, the whole movie.
Yes,
he has, no real name.
And he actually refers to himself as a protagonist.
Yes,
also,
many times.
Yes, so that's the thing to remember.
This was released in 2020, directed by Christopher Nolan. It stars John David Washington and Robert Pattinson. Got a cameo by my man Michael Caine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then there's a lot of other actors and actresses that you would like know by seeing them, but they're not like home names. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So without like diving really into this absolutely confusing plot,
bonkers storyline. Yes. Yeah.
What'd you think of Tenet?
I liked Tenet. I enjoyed Tenet. It's a fun ride. If you just don't think too much about it, it's a fun movie. If you think too much about it, you will literally give yourself a headache. Because without going too much into like spoilers and without going too much into the sort of like the nuances of this movie, essentially,
you're not going to give us a physics lesson.
Yeah, exactly. Literally, you need like a physics 101 lesson to probably fully really understand like this movie and what they're trying to do with it. So the main character, the protagonist, essentially is trying to stop World War III, as what they put it in the movie. But what he learns to find is that actually the enemy he's fighting is from the future, and people from the future are trying to affect the past. And by doing so, they're actually using people in the past, our present, to kind of assemble an item of some kind that the future is going to use to destroy, I guess, everything, to destroy our time period now.
Now, they don't actually travel like, It's not a time travel movie. What's actually happening is they invert things that's already gone through time. They can invert it back from what it did.
Including themselves.
It traveled, they can travel it back.
Yes. Including themselves to people.
Yes, people can do it too.
It's like to get an idea, it's like if you go in this machine that inverts time, everything around you is going backwards. And you're going forwards, but everything else is going backwards. And then if you go back in the machine, you're going back into real time, everything's moving forward again. But depending on your perspective, things are either moving forward or backwards. It's a bit confusing, but luckily in the movie, as it progresses and unfolds, you do see other points of view, and it does kind of like make a lot more sense. But at times, though, it also becomes a little bit more confusing.
And the way Christopher Nolan visually shows it, like your brain picks it up as what's actually going on, and you understand the inversion technique that the movie's explaining.
Yes, to the point where like literally people who are inverted, like if you're talking to somebody who's inverted, they're talking backwards.
Yes,
because they literally they're everything that they're going through is happening backwards. So it's a really strange film, but he does just a good enough job of like making it coherent and keeping the action and keeping the pacing and keeping everything going. The acting is good enough. Everything's good enough where like it doesn't distract you too much from the action. But you know, it's a fun movie. It's not one of his best films. He's made better films, but it's definitely a fun. It's definitely one of his most action packed films. Yes. Though, I think, especially with the ending, there's a big set piece at the end. That's really, really good. It's confusing as hell, but it's amazingly shot though.
The pace of the movie, especially for a Christopher Nolan film, like his foot's on the gas the whole film.
And it's a 2.5 hour movie. It's a 2.5 hours too.
Yes, but it doesn't feel like that.
No, it doesn't, because every scene something is happening. People are always moving. They're always walking. I think there's only a few scenes where they're actually sitting down talking.
The Michael Caine scene is one of the few scenes.
The Michael Caine scene, the scene with the wife, like at the restaurant. There's only a few scenes where actually
and everything leads to an action scene.
Yes.
Almost everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also, there's a lot of, I mean, mystery surrounds the entire movie. So you're always kind of guessing and wondering what's going to happen. So you are on the edge of your seat the whole time, just wondering what the hell's going on and what's the point of really this movie and story, too.
Do you want to mention the technical issue that the movie has?
So, yeah, apparently the sound mixing was totally, it seems totally off in this film, to the point where, like, they're walking down the street and they're having a conversation, and the horns and the car and the birds are louder than and they're talking. It's actually hard to hear what people are saying. Like, you actually have to go back and rewatch scenes to hear what they're saying. I wish I had subtitles
on or something.
Yeah, to actually read
the
it
ambient sound is like sky high.
It's sky high. It's really way too high. I don't know. Maybe this was a decision. I don't know if it's an error. I don't know. But it's really hard to hear people speak in this movie. In the movie where literally you're hanging on every word people are saying because you're trying to figure out what's going on. So like you in a movie you don't want to miss literally a sentence and. Sentences and words and dialogue is thrown at you left and right. We're like, if you miss something, you won't know what the hell is going on.
Everything's already cryptic. So like when they're talking in these cryptic sentences about like things that they don't understand yet in the movie, and you're trying to figure it out, and they're just whispering. It sounds like they're just whispering.
Yeah, and you're just lost. Then you have no idea what's going on. But even with that though, you know, it's a hurdle to get over. Like maybe there'll be another edition. Maybe they'll fix it. I'm not sure. But it definitely did. Parts of it took me out of the movie where I was like, wait, what the hell they say? I can't hear what they're saying.
Let me ask you, Frank. Do you think that Christopher Nolan is one of the best directors working today?
I'd say he's one of those competent directors. Because for you to make this movie coherently, you have to be a good director. Like you have to be a very competent director. Because this story in anybody else's hands would have been a complete and utter disaster.
McGee, like, or one of them.
Yes, or literally even a halfway decent director. Like without you having the mind of Christopher Nolan to make this kind of movie, it would have been a disaster. Like his movies are really competent, but he does his type of movies really well.
High concept.
It's movies all concept. It literally, like, even when it comes to the action scenes, if you don't buy into the concept, you're not going to buy into the action scenes.
Kind of reminds me of, you know, obviously Spielberg's a better director, but Spielberg also has some high concept films like Minority Report and stuff.
But
I feel like he could pull it off the way it looks.
Yeah, and even that though, like that's even. You know, for time, for like, you know, time and you know, predicting the future, even that's pretty streamlined compared to this. Where,
I don't want to get into naming my similar movies, but I'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But another Christopher, let's just say it's like another Christopher Nolan movie where the concept is super high and you have to pay a lot of attention.
Yes. And again, he does these kind of movies really well. For this is his style. This is his wheelhouse. This is what he does. I would never really see him doing. Like, I don't think I'll ever see him doing more like dumbed down, like action film or like spy thriller. You know, it always has to have this kind of like angle to it.
Can you picture Tenet in the hands of Michael Bay?
Oh, God. I mean, I could, because like I can seriously picture the visual style of it.
Yes.
But I do think it would all be style. Like it wouldn't, the whole idea about what's going on.
You wouldn't understand what's going on.
And he wouldn't put a lot of effort into trying to explain it very much either, you know?
That's one thing about Nolan. Like he wants you to understand the movie without spoon feeding you like information.
Yes, and he wants it to be like 100% believable. Like,
yes,
he wants you to think like this. This can really happen. Not only it can happen, it is happening. Like this is the real world that you're living in, which I appreciate that in his movies too.
But like you know, I also feel like Nolan is very. I don't like to say the word full of himself, but very. He's an arrogant director. As you see with, like, you know, what he did with the Batman series and stuff. And I'm glad that Tenet, he didn't show that.
Well, he does what he knows, right? Like, this is his idea. This is his creation.
It could have
like,
been
he's
that,
not taking
that,
somebody else's
involved in the Batman.
Yeah, and that's, like, not his... It's not his. He created the style of Batman, but Batman's not his creation. Like, Inception is... This Tenet is the Prestige. I think the Prestige might have been a book. I'm not sure.
He directed the Prestige?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's one of a really good movie. It's probably one of his most... Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale. They're both in it. But that's probably one of his more, like, emotionally driven movies. This movie has no... character development. There's nothing in this movie about like emotional connection to the characters or nothing. It's just purely a cold and analytical film. But it still works though.
Do you think Robert Pattinson did a good job in this? I liked him in this movie.
No, definitely. I mean, you could definitely tell this is definitely where he was auditioning for Batman because he's definitely beefed up. He's bigger in this. Like you can tell like he was
serious.
He obviously was working out for this film, but you can tell here like, okay, that's how they could see. That's where they saw Batman in him. They're like, okay, because he's definitely built up. Like he's definitely like, you can see he could take care of himself in this movie. I've never seen him in.
He plays like a soldier.
Like that before. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
A soldier from the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he did a good job. He's very likable. Like I watched a movie. I never once was like, "Oh, it's Twilight Boy." Like that never went through my head.
No, he's a good actor. He really is a good actor. He just, you know, he happened to be in Twilight.
He got saddled with that, unfortunately.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He would have been a good actor regardless of whatever he did, like being other things.
And I think that's also one of the reasons people don't want him to be Batman is because they keep seeing him as the Twilight. They're not giving him a chance.
But he's been in other really good stuff. And
yeah, but a lot of them
good,
are like...
Good Time was a really good movie. He's really good in that.
Yeah, but that's not something that a lot of people saw.
That's the thing. Like, he was in Cosmopolis. A lot of people didn't see that. He was really good at that. But like, you know, I mean, again, like he does have the acting chops.
He does. He does a lot of high concept films.
Yeah, he does. No, it's true.
I mean, dramas kind of, and like you said, what's it called?
Cosmopolis. Which
yes,
is a,
and another high concept Cronenberg
film. Yeah.
But I you know, like... Between this and, you know, a lot more people see this now that it's going to be streaming and on Blu-ray and stuff, and Batman, I think like he'll break out.
Definitely.
Does a good job as Batman.
Listen, he's already, once you're Batman, that's it. Like, you explode. Like, definitely after Batman, he's going to be in a ton of other stuff.
Yes.
Coming out. If it's not more, even more Batman
films. Like I said,
films.
If he does a good job. Because it also kills your career if you do a bad job.
It could.
Like Val Kilmer and George Clooney.
But you know what it is? I think the team, the Matt Reeves team behind the new Batman, he's a pretty competent director. I don't think... He's not, you know, that he's not like Joel Schumacher where he's doing it. Like,
Planet of the Apes stuff, that's really good movies.
Like I was saying, exactly. Like he's a very good director. I don't think he would be that off on casting Bruce Wayne. You know what I mean? Like I think, and also this Bruce Wayne is a much younger Bruce Wayne too. This is not like a battle hardened Bruce Wayne.
It is
this
like
a
no
very
Robin
young,
or anything. It's just,
no, this is very
he's learning.
Yes, exactly. So I do think, again, I do think Robert Pattinson will fit that mold pretty well. But we'll see. Who knows? Who knows?
One of my fears in that movie, just to mention it, is that it has a lot of characters.
Yes.
Like the villain-wise, there's like 12 of them.
Yes. Yeah. Which, again, it could either be great or horrible. It depends on what they do with it. It depends on how they balance all this out, really.
What's his name? Looks nothing like... Colin Farrell looks nothing like himself as Penguin.
No,
it
looks totally different. Yeah. Again, so I'm curious to see what they do with the characters and everything.
Me too.
And I think the Riddler is obviously in it. He's one of the main characters.
He's the main villain of the movie.
Yeah, he's like the main villain. But like you said, everyone else, there's a lot of other villains in it too, like sprinkled in there also.
I'm hoping they do it more like, you know, like the animated series or like the comic, like back in the day where like he's not always like interacting to kick their ass. Like sometimes he needs information, so he visits their like pub or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you know what I'm saying? Like it's more of like they're part of the city's culture.
Yeah, he's not just going to like get the thing back to save the day or whatever. Like
you might have to go to what's his name's club, Penguin, and like talk to him about what's going on without being like you're under arrest, kick your ass, you know?
Yeah, yes, and also I'm curious how to do the Penguin because you have to balance between like, you know, he's not a penguin, but like he's a real person, but he's a comic book character at the same time, right? Like you have to like balance that out. Like you can't make him just a gangster because then he's just a gangster, but you can't make him like Danny DeVito in the Penguin either.
No,
you know what I mean?
Literally a penguin.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm always curious about to see where they find that middle ground.
Have Colin Farrell walk out like that, like white pajama outfit.
He's like waddling out like the old Penguin used to do in the old 1960s. Yeah, exactly. So like I'm always curious how they strike that balance between the villains.
Yes, because you said, at least Reeves is a really good director. So, I think if it's in anyone's hands, at least it's in his hands.
At least you don't have that fear of like oh no like
oh no Zack Snyder got his hands
exactly,
on
exactly
like,
oh what's this
going to
be
disaster.
Now yes like it's what I'm saying I have hope for it. If it's going to be good, I'm really not sure, but I have hope though. So we'll see.
And I hope like they really let it looks like in that one scene that they show. They're actually going to let him fight and pull the camera back and show like you know, like a real badass martial arts. Because he bitch slaps the guy like 12 times.
Oh yeah, but he just destroys him. Like he
and then
really,
punches him like right to the ground. Batman.
And that's the thing too. Like you tell, like, again, it's very much like year one Batman because even like the Batmobile is like a regular car. It's not
his outfit
thing.
Is ridiculous.
The outfit looks like someone actually made it. Like it doesn't look like it was mass. It was like produced in a factory. Like all the typical.
And even
Batman
when he's fighting those guys in the trailer, like in that little teaser, he's not fighting with that anger. He's like fighting like you know like more calm.
Yeah.
Like you know like he's not a like you said battle hardened where he's just trying to maim people because he's sick of it.
Exactly.
He's so not Ben Affleck Batman.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So I'm curious to see the direction that they go in with it and see what happens. And obviously he's being more of a flawed Batman too because he's not going to be perfect. Like that's the other thing that I kind of you know it gets old quickly is that Batman's just perfect. Everything goes well for the guy. Like you want to have a bit of like
he can figure everything out in seconds.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So. Hopefully they'll do a better job of it this time around.
So we're going to take a quick 10-second break to leave you a message from our sponsor, and then when we get back, we're going to break down all the action scenes in Tenet. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back, everyone. So what do you think of the fights in Tenet, Frank?
Well, okay, so the fight scenes in this movie are very unique due to the high concept of time inversion. But I will say I give the fight scenes in this a three out of five. They're fun. I mean, for what it is, I feel like this could have been a disaster, and I liked it. I wish there was more of it. Actually, there's really only one scene that
it's played twice.
It's played twice. Yeah. But that's the issue.
Well, there's a scene in the cafeteria room too.
There is. It's very quick. It's very very quick though. I wish there was more. Like the fight scene that they have twice. I wish it was more of that. I think that's why I only gave it a 3, not a 4. I think if they had like one more really good like hand to hand combat scene that was like that, where it's like inverting time, it would have been better in my opinion. But it's fun. It's great what's there, especially when you see the whole movie and you see what happens. Like it definitely makes a lot of sense and it's a lot of fun because you get to see the same fight scene from two different points of view, and it's a whole lot of fun.
I actually really like the fights in this movie. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I thought the first time he fights the inverted guy, mm-hmm. I was like, yo, this is like one of the craziest shits I've ever seen.
Yeah,
like it's just a guy's moving backwards, but he knows all the moves already because he's inverted,
and weird. He's blocking. Yeah.
Like it is weird.
It's weird. Like, some parts like he's hitting him, he's punching him, but like he's blocking it. But other times like he's not blocking it. It's very hard to describe. We cannot describe.
No,
we can't describe it. You just have to watch it. It's impossible to describe it. But like, it's one of those things though. I will say you either go with it or you don't. This is either like you enjoy the fight scene or you don't. I enjoy it. I just wish it was more of it, but I definitely enjoy it. But I can see other people watching me and like, what the hell is going
on?
If
you like the story, you're going to love the action scenes.
Yes.
Like especially the fight scenes.
Yes.
Because they're all about what's going on. They fit into the story, the whole plot.
And like I said, and the fight scene happens twice. Outside of that, there's only one other scene where there's actually hand to hand fighting. There's other action set pieces, but that's the only hand to hand combat scenes in it. It's really only except the three scenes there.
Stunts, I gave a 4 out of 5. Also, the stunt work's really come on. Yeah. It's Christopher Nolan. This is a $100 million movie. Mm-hmm. The stunts are insane in this movie.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of them. Like when they're jumping out the building, bungee mm-hmm. jumping up and down buildings. There's mm-hmm. the fighting. There's car chases. There's so much practical stunt work. It's a big, big spectacle.
Yeah, for the stunt work, I actually did give it a 4 out of 5 too, because of just trying to film those fight scenes and trying to film all that stuff and like all the other. And this movie is like set piece after set piece after set piece, and like in every set piece, there's always some kind of like stunt work. Or they're climbing on cars, or like literally they're in cars.
And there's something like inverted going on too in it.
Yeah,
so it's like
it's somewhere it's really them. It looks like it looks like it's them.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's just like a huge movie. The stunts are really, really like really good in this. I mean, it's not so much stunts in terms of like fighting stunts, but they're like set piece stunts. Really, that's really what it is.
Yeah. Special effects.
So you should get a 4 out of 5 because just the whole time inversion thing, the whole explosions, the ending is amazing. Special effects at the end when things like it's blowing up and everything looks practical, everything looks real. And just the fact that you can pull off this whole like time inversion thing correctly and it's visually making sense. That's something, that's a feat to kind of like, that's something to talk about. Like that's not easy to do. Again, anybody else would have messed this up, but like him using our special effects, it definitely did the right job.
I actually gave the special effects a 5 out of 5 because mm-hmm. I just couldn't think of any way that it could have been done better. Like everything looks real.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially well, we'll get to it next with the car chase.
Yes.
Like how that, and not just the car chase that's in the trailer, but like the car chase happens before that also. Like everything just looks legit. Like you know, they're obviously not really there, but like it all looks real. It all looks like they're really there. Like everything looks like legit that there everything's happening.
I gave the car chase a 4 out of 5 because
yeah. Yeah.
A lot of the chase is practical.
Yeah.
And there's cars flipping all over the place. And there's mm-hmm. like a double car chase with a big stunt of a robbery.
Yes, yes.
A robbery. Yeah, I guess you call it that. And it's friggin' amazing, actually. It's probably the best. I think it's one of the most fun set pieces of the film.
Yeah. No, the car chase, I gave the same thing 4 out of 5 because it's one of the highlights of the film. It's this whole set piece, and it is like the highlight of the movie when you watch it.
It's long.
And so, and again, it's one of those things where you see it twice. Like, you understand it from uh-huh. both perspectives, which is really makes it unique. But, yeah.
What about shootouts?
Shootouts 4 out of 5 because I love that ending, man. I love, you know, the shootouts were, I mean, again, just this idea like the inverted shootouts and the normal timeline shootouts, just putting all that together is freaking awesome. Like, even the beginning, too, in the very beginning is a great set piece.
Yeah, and I forgot about that.
At the very beginning of the movie is really great. Like, again, the shootouts are really, really good in this movie. Again, it's Christopher Nolan, so you come to expect really good, but like, he topped himself in this, though. Like, he really did better almost than any other movie, you know, that he's made so far in terms of, like, gun action. Like, it's really, it's a lot of fun, and it's crazy. So, yeah.
I also gave it a 4 out of 5, and, like, for all the same reasons you did. And I just could, I can't even fathom the choreography and time it took
man.
To film that last set piece with all the backwards and forward motion that had to be done.
Just not even to film it, but just like to come up like logically what's happening,
yes.
Like to actually break down what's happening here, because it's just crazy. It's nuts. Like, again, we won't get into too much because it's too much to go into anyway to really explain what's happening without spoiling the entire movie. But it just you know, rest assured, it's absolutely ridiculous action set piece at the end.
I gave the movie an overall 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, it would have got a 5 out of 5, but it is, you know, if you're not into high concept films, this is a rough one to get through and understand. And if you don't buy the plot, you're not going to buy any of the actions.
No, you won't buy the whole movie. Like,
yeah.
You got nothing really.
And that takes a point off.
Yeah, no, exactly. I gave it 4 out of 5 too, because it's really great. It's amazing. It's a spectacle, but like it's in a weird way, it's like, it's almost like too dumb. You know what I mean? It's like, it's too smart for its own good.
It's its own enemy.
Yeah, it becomes its own enemy. It's too smart for its own good. Like, everything else is great, but it could have used like a little bit of a step back of making it just like a little bit more like how, like, quote unquote Hollywood or quote unquote fun. You know what I mean? Like, it almost takes itself too seriously at the end of the day. We're like, but again, that's Christopher Nolan, though. That's what you get.
It's also
that's
funny because me and you are always bitching that movies are too Hollywood.
Yeah.
But this one just goes in the other side.
This movie is purely cerebral. It's purely mental movie. Like, there's no real emotional push or pull. He even sucks anything whimsical out of it. Like, he takes all the mystery really out of it as well. Like, again, it needed a little bit of like that, like, you know, Hollywood jazz into
it. And it has like no charm.
It's
completely like, there's no,
it's void of emotion.
Yes,
literally,
it's completely like it is taken like this is like real life.
Yes.
And these guys are really doing this.
Yes,
and that's cool. Exactly. If I'm watching a documentary.
Yeah, again, it's cool. That's great. That's fun, because I like that seriousness in movies. But this, again, it just takes it like to the max, like 100%. There's no levity in this whatsoever. I don't think there's even one joke. The only joke is when Robert Pattinson is trying to get some sleep. Like, that's supposed
really
to be funny.
A joke,
exactly. Like, I laugh because it's the most like lighthearted it is in the entire movie. Everything else is just so serious in this film.
Even Batman movies had jokes and
levity. Yeah, exactly. Yes, even Batman movies had more levity to them than this.
This one is no levity.
No.
And you know that's the kind of film you wanted to make, and it's not. You know, it's good.
Yes.
But it could, like you said, it could have just a little tiny bit of Hollywood included.
Just something, something. Make, again, give me that one little quick set piece that's not so like on the, that's trying to explain itself as, you know, like as to have be explained later on. You know what I mean? Just give me some, just like this dumb fun. There's absolutely no dumb funness whatsoever. You know, so I mean, even like you say, you mentioned Minority Report. Steven Spielberg, that had those moments where like it's just fun. It's stupid, but it's fun, and it's not too stupid to take you out of the movie. It's just stupid enough.
Like the
chase
against
time.
Him, like it's so overblown. Like,
yes.
But it's really great.
Like when he goes into car factory.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like
that whole scene.
It didn't have to happen. It looks ridiculous.
No, it didn't have to happen, Jacobs. But it's fun. It's great. It's parts of it's funny. Like it's, you know, it's
and
Spielberg.
It shows the creativity of the directing and the choreography.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
doesn't have this doesn't obviously it has the. Great directing and choreography, but the creativity of doing something you don't expect isn't really there.
Yeah, it's like he has to cross all his T's and dot all his I's.
Uh-huh.
He can't have
you
anything
know
feel out of
place.
Going to
be inverted action stuff at the end, because they literally tell you when the guy's doing the presentation, like the colonel or whatever he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was that? Jason Aaron Taylor? That's the kid from Godzilla.
Is that him?
I think that's him.
It might have been him. I don't know. It might have been him. Yeah, yeah.
Aaron, I forgot his whole name. Kick-Ass.
Yes. It might have been. He had a beard
and
everything.
He's explaining like what's going on. He's literally saying, there's going to be a bunch of people shooting and running around backwards.
Yeah.
Inverted. And you're like, okay, I'm going to get an inverted action scene.
But it's so much more than that, though. You have to watch it to really even grasp what happens at the end. But like, it's crazy.
What's your first similar movie?
Okay, well, here's the thing. We both have
the same two. So I'll let you do the first one. I'll do the second one.
All right, well, the first one is obviously another Christopher Nolan film, Inception. And again, same thing. It's a high concept idea with great action set pieces. I think Inception almost is a little bit more ridiculous because it's the idea of like dreams inside dreams. They're basically spies that you know, they don't spy you in the real world. They spy you in your dreams, and they basically alter your dreams to make you do things in real life, like the waking life. As they get hired by Ken Watanabe, I believe, to go into what's his name?
Scarecrow. Well, we know DiCaprio's in it, by the way.
Leonardo DiCaprio, yes, DiCaprio, Tom Hardy, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it. They're the main. And like the
what's
main
that
crew.
Girl's face?
Ellen Page. Elliot Page.
Is it
now.
Ellen? Is it Elliot
now
Page?
It's Elliot,
Ellen
yes.
Page, whatever?
Yeah,
Okay. I thought She's it was one... the other girl from Gemini Man.
No. That's the, it's Elliot Page. Okay. They're all in it. But in that movie, again, it all takes place in dreams. So, of course, again, it's a high concept idea. Special effects are crazy good in that movie. The set pieces are crazy good. But again, it suffers from the same exact things that Inception suffers from, is that it gets too caught up in its own idea. Where, like, they don't spend time developing characters or developing the story. There's very little emotional pull. Meanwhile, the main character is literally supposed to be doing this to get his kids back and everything, but, like, you don't care.
Was his kid or his wife?
Well, he gets to find his wife, apparently, like, spoiler alert, but his wife, you know, dies in it.
Oh,
in the
okay.
Movie.
Right.
But he has to leave the country, and he leaves his kids behind. And the whole point why he does the mission is to get like, amnesty or whatever, to like, get a pardon so he can return to America where his kids are.
Yeah, spoiler alert, at the end, you don't know if he stays with his wife in the dream.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know if the whole thing is actually happening inside of a dream.
Yeah.
But again, the movie is so entertaining and so fun that, like, you kind of forget all those things. But once you stop to think about it, much like Inception, it kind of starts to, like, unravel a bit. But, you know, it's so much fun that you don't really care at the end. But definitely check out Inception.
Inception itself has a lot of similarities to The Matrix.
Yes.
High concept of what is the world around us, really.
Yeah, how real is everything? What do you believe is real?
And our second movie, since we picked the same two movies, mm-hmm. is Looper with, again, Joseph Gordon-Levitt mm-hmm. and Bruce Willis.
And Emily Blunt's actually in it, too.
Yes, Emily She's Blunt the mother. Is the mother of a kid, and this kid turns up to be like this, like, cult leader in the future.
Mm-hmm. He's like the top gangster, or he's like the top crime
like
lord. He's a crime lord
he's
or something.
He's a bad crime lord, and I think he kills Joseph Gordon-Levitt's family or something. That's why
he
wants.
No, he kills his wife.
Yes.
Well, he kills his future
Joseph
wife.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Okay, so Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis are the same person.
Bruce Willis
is the future version of Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt basically kills people who were sent from the future to the past to disappear. Yes. Like, that's how they kill.
So
that's how the mafia
a crime
kills
lord
people.
Sending people that he needs killed to the past, Joseph Gordon-Levitt kills them.
So there's no evidence. There's no proof. That's what they do, basically.
So they send Bruce Willis back, who is Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
And they finds out, and Bruce Willis goes in the past to kill this kid, who mm-hmm. turns out in the future to be the crime lord.
Yeah. And because Joseph, I mean, we won't spoil it too much, but that's kind of the gist of it. Yeah. What happens.
It's another high concept movie.
Yes, it is.
But it has some really fun action scenes.
It has really some really fun action scenes. It's not too high concept. Like, they do.
No, you understand the plot by the end of the film.
You understand the plot and everything.
High concept,
too.
as in, there's two of him, basically.
Whenever there's a time traveling aspect to a movie, you're going to have, like, it has to be high concept because you have the whole paradoxes and everything to think about. Even in this one, too, they try and go with the paradox.
Unless it's Terminator, where they go back in time and then they just forget the rest of the movie that's time traveling.
They just make different movies. They don't care. Yeah, they just literally do their own thing in the new movies that come out. But Looper is a good, because Joseph Gordon-Levitt is really good. I mean, even Bruce Willis is good.
Yeah, he's one of the last movies he gave a shit.
Yeah, exactly. And everything's really good. The story happens with the mother and the child is really good. Again,
it's directed super well, too.
It's directed really
well. Paced and directed and cinematography. Mm-hmm. Everything's excellent.
And it has a lot more heart and emotion to it than any of the Christopher Nolan films do also. So you're getting a little bit more, like, characterization, and you're getting more, like, character arcs in it also.
When you eventually find out the reason that Bruce Willis wants to kill this kid, and you actually care.
Yes.
It's not like
he's
just, like, some crazy murderer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
He's like Frank said, he's the gangster that's sending him back in the first place, but he killed his wife.
Yes, and then in the end, he goes back in time, because eventually all these loopers get killed. Eventually, they all get sent to the past to die anyway. But Bruce Willis goes back and up for a different reason, because he wants to go stop the killer, the guy who's going to kill his future wife.
And then a bunch of action scenes happen, and you can watch it. You better watch it. It's a good movie.
Yeah, because it's a good movie. Yep.
So that is our review for Tenet, which is one of the big releases, one of the few big releases that happened this year.
In theaters. It came out in theaters.
Yeah, it did come out in theaters, and that's rare occasion for this 2020 year, which was a rough one. But it's almost over.
Almost.
But this is Mr. Action signing out.
And this is Frankie Cranks. Until next time, guys.